Thank you, Michael, for leading those songs. It drives the point home so much what a lesson our singing is. What a message and a sermon the songs that we sing. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will sing with the knowledge and with the understanding. And it's important, and I appreciate those songs that you just led. We're going to continue tonight in our series, The Journey of Jesus. We started out looking at Jesus' existence in heaven even before he came to earth. We've looked at his ministry. We've looked at his healings, his arrest, his trial. And tonight we're going to look at the crucifixion. It's one of the more sobering, probably the most sobering event in the New Testament. How everything from before time came together for this moment, that Jesus' purpose was to be a sacrifice for man's sins. The way I understand the scriptures, he had two main purposes. He was with God at the creation, but he had two purposes: the crucifixion, and he will be assigned judgment. And this, the crucifixion was part of his purpose from the very beginning, because of man. And we'll look at two different passages. We'll look at the passage in Matthew, starting in verse 37. When he was crucified, in verse 37 it says, "And they put up over his head the accusation written against him." This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. "Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" We don't know exactly from Scripture how many people were witnessing this crucifixion. Jesus was crucified during the Passover festival. And it is estimated that as many as 1 million people were in Jerusalem at this time. And it is safe to say, just logically, that multitudes would have seen this, and even more would have been aware of this. It's interesting here in verse 40, where it said, where they cried out, "If you are the Son of God." That's the same argument the devil used when he was tempting Jesus during the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. The devil himself was saying, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God." That's the same argument these people were using. They were speaking as though they were the devil. I'm not big on what ifs, because there's no way to come to a conclusion. There's no way to prove anything. But in my mind, when this was taking place, I wonder what the angels in heaven were doing. When are you going to send us? Their swords drawn. God, when? We're ready. God had sent them to the earth a few times before for a lot less than this. And they took care of business. The angels in heaven must have been a little confused. Why? Why are you alive? And when are we going to get to go? If you're the Son of God, you want to see what? Give it a little bit, and you'll see if he was the Son of God. Goes on to say in verse 41, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him in the same thing, with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. The sixth hour was high noon, 12 o'clock. The ninth hour, 3 in the afternoon. At the time when everything normally is the brightest, there was darkness over all the land. Jesus, the Son of God, was taking the sin of man on himself. The sin of man at that moment, the sin of man for everybody that had existed prior to this, and the sin of man that existed ever since that. Our sin. Mm-hmm. This moment was Jesus' purpose. To come to earth, to leave the side of God and take on the sin that mankind had, to offer us, them, a way of salvation, redemption back to God. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first and only time, Jesus was not in the same connection with God. God cannot accept sin. And the sin of eternity was on Jesus. Momentarily, Jesus must have felt separated. But this was his purpose. And he loved us enough to go through with this. Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. The veil of the temple is what separated, is where God dwelt. And it separated man from the holiest of holy places. I've heard that it was as thick as a man's hand. It wasn't just like a little curtain. It was thick. And at the moment that Jesus died, the veil was ripped in two, God leaving once and for all the temple. The Jewish system was done. Jesus was nailed to the cross. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. This wasn't just, you know, a few people getting together with a story. They appeared to many people. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, amen, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I think of those people that were mocking him, the people that were slinging all sorts of vile things verbally at Jesus while he was on the cross. How many things that they had seen, the teachings, the healings, the resurrection of Lazarus. These guards probably didn't see all those things. They saw this. They saw how Jesus behaved on the cross, how he conducted himself. And we don't think the way we act has an influence. The things we do, the things we say, they saw Jesus on the cross. They saw the darkening skies. They saw the earthquake. They saw who he was. And they said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." They saw it. In John chapter 19, toward the end of the crucifixion account, in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." This was his purpose for time and eternity. And it kind of makes John 3:16 and 17 have a little different point. When John recorded, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was the whole purpose of Jesus. And Jesus was aware of that. And he went through with it anyway. The pain, the suffering, the ridicule, the mocking. And there at the end, he said, it is finished. And he died. The next time that I have the Sunday evening lesson, we're going to look at his burial. And we're going to continue this journey of Jesus. The invitation is always open. There may be people here in our assembly that have not put their Lord on in baptism. We have that opportunity tonight. Jesus died that we may be reconciled and redeemed back to God. But to do that, you have to be baptized. Jesus himself said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those of us that have become Christians, that have been added to the church, might have prayers, concerns, worries that we can share with each other. We'd be more than happy to pray with and for you tonight. We may be trying to walk that life, fulfill our purpose of glorifying God and letting our light shine. And maybe we're trying to do it dragging sin with us. There's no better time than now to repent of sin in our lives and to be that better influence that we're supposed to be. If we can assist you, please come forward, let your needs be known while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.